consider it a patriotic song. And when Brother Tony was recognizing the veterans, and I know this, but I tend to forget, my dad was in the Army. Jimmy was actually drafted in the Army, and as he tells it, was lucky enough that the Vietnam War ended prior to his finishing basic training, or he would have probably ended up there. And as you know, my brother Art was in the Marine Corps for 12 years. So, and the Marine Corps took him to Japan, which I guess he'll stay there for quite a while. But so it is an important part of our family. But this song was made popular by Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. And y'all feel free to sing it with me, okay?
Kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise, five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank you again for Scripture. Thank you for the Scripture so that we can learn the Scripture and learn from it to apply things to our life so that we will be better. We are grateful, Lord, for your presence in this place. Wherever two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, and we are grateful. So now, Lord, may we honor you as we ask that we would have you open up our eyes to see you, open up our ears to hear your voice, and then, Lord, open up our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. We love you and we thank you again for this time. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. I entitled this, "Are You Ready?" Are you ready? Now, here Jesus is talking to an audience that understood the wedding feast. They understood the wedding party, if you will. That there was a big celebration when it was time to get married. And so they had, just like every entrepreneur, they had designed a lamp that would have enough oil, just enough, so that it would last the duration of the wedding. Isn't that amazing? They designed it so that it wouldn't be too big, it wouldn't be too small, but it'd be just right to last the period for the wedding. So, saying that, you see you have five virgins that are wise and five virgins that are foolish, as the Scripture says. Now, Jesus differentiated between these because he wanted us to see, I think, anytime Red Letter Edition, Jesus is talking spiritually, so we need to understand what he's trying to tell us spiritually. If we would look at the church today, what would we call the church in this story? The church would be the what? The bride. Isn't that right? That's what we're called or classified. Who would be the bridegroom? Jesus, right? So, Jesus is the bridegroom. And so, in this story, what we're doing is we're seeing that he wants us to be prepared for this festival or wedding event, and that he is coming back. Now, we all know up front that no one knows the time nor the place that Jesus is coming back. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians and in different places, and he just said it here. He said, nobody really knows the time nor the place. But he says we need to be ready. Now, strangely enough, there are people in the church today that I want to say are going to be those ones who were not prepared. You know anybody like that? No, not spiritually. You know anybody that's not prepared? Or when they come to the place, you know they're not prepared. You got to wait on them or you got to wait for them to get all the material. Well, that's what these foolish virgins were really like. Because everybody knew that there was the wedding. They were waiting on the bridegroom to come. But they didn't know exactly what time he was going to be there. So they were all there hanging out. Now, interesting here, if you look at it, it says they slumbered. Well, that's more or less they were sleeping. Could be that they were lazy. Those terms are synonymous to lazy. So they were sort of just hanging out, waiting for this event to occur. Now, why Jesus uses this event is I don't know. You're going to have to sort that out, I think. Because what he's trying to do is say to the common folks of that time that, listen, I'm speaking to you. You know about these events, and you need to be ready for them. They're a big celebration, almost like church on Sunday. Can you believe that church is really a big celebration of the week that you've just witnessed and experienced? So when we come to church on Sunday, it should be a big celebration for us. It should be our climactic point in the week. That we've labored and we've worked and we tarried and we went through a lot of different things. And then so when we come, we give our offering, we worship the Lord in song, and we hear a word to encourage us to prepare us for the next week. Amen?
Amen.
Good, good. So we're on the same page. And so I think Jesus is trying to tell us this story or some spirituality things here through this story because everybody knew what a wedding was. Now, the thing, when he differentiates between these two, they were both there. They both had their lamps, which were designed for the duration of a wedding. Now, interesting enough that the ones who were wise not only had oil in their lamps, but they had extra oil for them in case they ran out. They had planned and prepared. You know anybody that has planned and prepared for their retirement. Listen, you try to plan and prepare. I watch these TV commercials all the time where they said, well, yeah, I planned and I have this much money, but my length of days have been extended about 15 more years. So I'm short a little bit here, you know. And so we try to plan, but we just don't know, do we? Now that's just the natural part, but in the spiritual part, these virgins that were wise had everything in order, if you will. They knew that the bridegroom was coming, just like the foolish ones. Now, if we both know, in essence, today, bringing it home, we both and all know that Jesus is coming back for us. Amen?
Amen.
That was pretty weak. Let me say that one more time. Listen, Jesus is coming back for you. Amen? Yeah, he's coming back, and God tells us that, and Jesus told us that by saying, hey, I got to go to my Father, I'm going to the Father, and you know, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but listen, I'm coming back in the same way later. So, be ready, and watch, he said. He said, watch and pray. Now, here, it's trying to tell us to be ready and watch. Now, what I want us and what I want to communicate to you today is there's a lot of people that understand what church is, just like those people knew what the wedding was. They knew the jargon, they knew what kind of clothes they needed to wear, they had their lamps that were specifically designed for that, they had their oil, some of them, ready for this event to occur. So we know church. In today's society, we know church. We know the jargon of the church. We know how we're supposed to act in church. And the issue is that there are problems with that. Because there's some people, I want to say, that are not ready for Jesus to come back right now. In the church. In the church. And so what I'm saying is that we need our own selves be ready and have an assurance in our heart that we know without a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus appeared right now, right here, this moment, we would be ready to go with Him. I mean, okay, let me say it like this. I have a little video that I was blessed to get, and it was a teaching setting. A guy was in the front teaching like at a lectern, and there was a classroom of maybe 150 people. And the issue was, is that he was talking about Jesus coming back. And you know, some of them were on their phones. Some of them were writing notes. Some of them were just thumbing through the book that they had in the class. And some of them were paying attention. Strangely enough, a loud bang happened, a flash of light, and the teacher was gone. And so were many in the room. But what happened to the ones who were left behind? The ones in the room, when they looked around, they said, "What has happened?" That's what they said in this little video. I have it on my computer. You would just be amazed to see it. And so I say that because I believe the church, there's going to be people still here. And they think they're okay. They think they're ready to go. But I want to say it's really pretty black and white and fairly simple to say that you can't come in on somebody else's, if you will, apron string or shirt tail or skirt tail or... You know, it can't be because Grandma and Grandpa built the building. It can't be because Dad and Mom are the best Christians in the whole community. It's got to be that you have had this personal experience and you have come to a realization that you were a sinner. And that when you recognize that you were a sinner, that you confessed to Jesus that you've sinned, and you're asking Him to forgive you of your sin, and you invite Him in. Now, without doing that, then you may be questionable if you're not, if you're going or not. Because the scripture's plain about you have to invite Jesus in. And therefore, we break down into the wise and the unwise, foolish, if you will, and they're either prepared or not prepared. And if we're not prepared, then shame on you. Because I know you've heard the message from me for a year and a half. I know that. I mean, you've already heard that. So it's a shame if you have come to a place of pondering that. And I love how Wynn said it the other day in Ladies Sunday. He said, "Well, will you just come with me? Because he's going to heaven." Isn't that what you said, Wynn? Very, very good. He said, "Will you come with me?" And the altar filled up. I was amazed. I've been preaching hard to you for a year plus, and I haven't gotten that response. And so I'm analyzing the tape because I want to learn how to do that here. I mean, I can do that other places, but here. And so Wynn, I may need you to come up and help me at the close. And I don't mind help because I need all the help I can get. You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is here that we can't depend on other people doing the work for us. Therefore, when you read the rest of that story as I read it to you, the virgins had to go, the foolish ones had to go and get the oil because the wise ones were not going to share their oil. Now, you might look at that and say, "Well, that's sort of selfish, Brother Tony." And I want to say, no, it's not. That's being ready for what God has asked you to be ready for. Now, we can direct people to Jesus. You can tell them the stories that you have experienced with Jesus. You can show them the scriptures about Jesus. You can do all sorts of things. You can stand on your head and preach and turn purple and tell them about Jesus. But listen, until they receive Him, they're like the foolish virgins. They are not prepared. Now, I say that because it's going to sadden my heart to know that if that big clap happened and the light shone and Jesus came back for us, that there would be somebody in here. That would break my heart to know that there was someone left behind in this church. Because what's happening is we can play real well. We know exactly what to say. We know how to do things. But I'm telling you, unless you have done these steps, you're not going. It's scripture. Now, the thing is here also is that when you look at these two virgins, the ones that left and went to get the oil and they came back, I can't imagine seeing this. But in my mind, I can see it very well. They're pounding on the door. And they're saying, "Let me in. Let me in." And the Lord responds, just like he did in Matthew 25:41, when they were pleading with him, "Please let me in." He said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He says, "I do not know you," right here in Matthew 25 as well. Now, if Jesus doesn't know you, then we have an issue. We have a serious issue in the church today, because the church is a spiritual entity that we expect to function and to have life in it and to do ministry that glorifies God. Not a self-serving ministry, but a ministry that is doing the work that God has asked us to do in our community. And if we're not doing that, then we may be self-serving and we may be doing things that God really doesn't want us to do. So what I'm saying is, today, are you ready to go? That's number one. Are you ready to go? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you confessed that you're a sinner to Him and then invited Him into your heart and soul and trusting Him and believing that it's not by your works that you're saved? Because even if you get saved, it's not what you do that earns you the right to go to heaven. It is that you believe that God sent His Son and He died and rose again so that through Him you will have life and life eternal. That's the bottom line. Now, if we believe that, then guess what's supposed to happen out of that? We are to be ready, and this is something I haven't heard in a while. I'm telling you, I surfed through the stations, and I haven't heard about the last Jesus coming. I've heard about the world being in turmoil and there's no peace, and I heard a lot about Israel, but you know, Jesus is coming. I haven't heard that quote lately. I just haven't heard people preaching about, you know, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming. I don't know. Have you heard that in your surfing experiences? I just haven't heard that lately. I don't know why, but it seems like we have lost the passion to say there's an urgency that Jesus is coming again. I'm telling you, we've lost the urgency in the church. We've lost the urgency in our compassionate hearts toward people to say, you know what? It's important that I tell people about Jesus, because listen, the time is at hand. And if you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? If you don't share the love of Christ, who's going to share the love of Christ with them? And so my heart is that we would get invigorated again, if you will, to make sure our lamps are filled with oil. We're prepared for the time when the bridegroom comes. And when He comes, that we'll be excited and that we'll be ready, and He'll know our name and He'll know us by our face, and He'll have heard our voice cry out to Him, because we have a relationship with Him and He knows us through and through. I just don't want in my mind to see people standing around saying, "What just happened?" Because Scripture says there's going to be two in the field and one will be left standing. There's other stories too. So the thing is, it is the way it is. And there are two types of people. And my responsibility is to make sure that you're the one that is prepared for Him to come back, and that you are ready in your heart and soul, that you know Jesus, and there's no doubt in your heart, that there's not a shadow of a doubt in your heart about if He comes, that you're going with Him. Because if there is that doubt, then we need to make sure today, at this altar, through prayer and asking God and confessing that we have doubt. And listen, God asked us, you know, to pray and help our unbelief. Help our unbelief, so that we will know without a shadow of a doubt that we are a born-again believer and we want to serve God and we want to do what He asks of us to do in our community. We have a closing song this morning. This is number 451. As family comes and begins to play, I want you to know that there's an opportunity to come to the altar. And it doesn't have to be for you. What my challenge is that if you know and you're content and you know you have that assurance and your lamp is full, it's ready. It's ready to go. When the time comes, you're ready to light the lamp and you have plenty of oil. I'm talking to you. There may be somebody that might be your best friend. It might be a neighbor in your home, I mean near your home, that has just been cantankerous all their life, and you don't know if they know Jesus. And you know, you've been thinking about them for a long time, and you say, you know, I'm going to go to the altar today, and I'm going to pray that God would open up a door so that I can go and I can talk to them about this. And you say, well, I'm not an evangelist, Brother Tony. You don't have to be an evangelist. You have to be a willing participant. You have to be somebody that is willing to go for God, and God will speak through you. You don't have to worry about what to say. Matter of fact, he says, I'll put you up before the kings and the Gentiles, but just get out of the way, and I will give you the words to speak. The problem is maybe we're hesitant. We're not willing. Maybe we're not sure. Well, I want to say, if you're not sure, come too, because this is the place to make sure. I don't know where else you can get that offer anywhere else in the world. The church is the place where you come and you make things right. Might be a way of, that you haven't been doing right for a while, and you want to just come back and you want to say, you know what, I want to just make sure everything's covered. All my bases are covered. I want to make sure that, God, you know my heart. That I don't want to be a person of questioning. I want to be a person of assurance. So maybe that's you today. So my question for us all today is, are we ready? And if we are ready, then are all of our people that we are concerned about, are they ready? And if they're not, then I ask you to come and pray for them at this altar this morning as we sing 451. Be thou my vision. Let's stand as we sing. And the altar is open.